Hey everyone, welcome to another episode of Pop Culture Rewind. I'm your host, Travis.
I don't know what to do with my hands.
That's why I got this.
I'm Chris.
Yes.
We got another week. Y'all keep sending in your applications, your resumes, and if Travis picks you, congratulations. I'll take a break and drink.
Well, at least you're honest about it.
What's on tap for today?
We are going to do our in-depth review of Rogue One.
Ooh.
A Star Wars movie.
The money grab.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah.
Obligatory movie to make sure our titles are relevant.
You're damn right. Yeah. Of course, cautionary aside, this is we'll be doing spoilers abound since this is a review of the movie. And like Chris will probably attest to, it's not our fault that you haven't seen the movie, right?
Yeah. It's been a week and a half. It's grossed to $150 million. It's your fault if you haven't watched it by now. Take a sick day.
We had 3 days
weekend. There's no excuse.
I was actually going to see it later on, and just on a whim, that same week, I was like, screw it. We're going to see it.
Surprisingly, it's only been a week and a half. Christmas holiday, a lot of people are off, are unemployed, or have nothing better to do to spend their money with. I was surprised how empty the theater was.
Really?
There was only like 15 people at a 6:50 showing in 3D of Rogue One.
You saw it in 3D?
Yeah. Look, so we did our end of the year stuff for our other podcast, and I didn't want to go home, and the movie was on, and I was like, all right. Well, actually, I was going to make plans to watch it, and those fell through, so I was like, you know what, I want to go home. So I just went, and the first available showing was 3D at 6-something, 6:40-something. So I went and saw it. Right. Yeah.
All right. So, this movie, Rogue One, this is the first non-episodic movie that ties in to the main saga.
Where exactly does it go?
Between the two trilogies, Episode 3 and Episode 4. Ah. So it kind of bridges the gap, if you will.
So if you're wondering why there's no BB-8, there you go.
I saw a funny little graph online. I think I shared it on Pop Culture's Facebook page about
1, 2, 3.
What you need?
4, 5, 6, 7.
Yeah, like BB-8's not in this. You need to see this. You don't need to see this. It was pretty funny.
The black person in this movie is a whole lot different. Yeah.
So this was man. It set a different tone, I thought, overall. I enjoyed it really. I didn't know what to expect, but I knew what it was going to accomplish, and I think they did a good job of what it set out to do. Mm-hmm. This movie, Rogue One, was directed by Gareth Edwards. He directed. I first heard about him through Monsters, but he got from Monsters. He got the gig to do Godzilla. So
which Godzilla?
The last one that just came out. Bryan Cranston and
okay,
the good one.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Unless you're a hardcore Godzilla fan, he's wanting to nitpick about it.
Yeah. I was like, where's Matthew Broderick? Fuck.
And he get kicked out of the theater for asking the question. All right. So, but yeah, I thought he did a good job because here's the difference between this and what we got last year with Force Awakens was Force Awakens, you're moving forward, right? So you can kind of, not really empty platter or anything, but you're building. You can build upon what's already in there. Where this one, you're in a confined space of what we've already known for continuity's sake. Mm-hmm. So you have something that came before it, and you have something that came after it, and you can only play in this little time frame right here. What did you think overall? Just generally, we'll get into details here in a second, but you know what? Before I answer that, how big of a fan are you?
I'm a fan. I like Star Wars. I've watched the original trilogy. The last time I saw it, I have no idea. I must have been a kid when I saw it.
So you're more of a casual fan.
I'm refreshed through the storylines, oddly enough, because of Family Guy when they redid the Star Wars trilogies. And I remember,
you know what? That's fair.
And I remembered what everything was based off of. Like, I got every single joke in there.
Okay.
So I was like, oh, I remember they were comparing that to this and all this other stuff. I'm probably in the minority here, but I really like Episode 3. I like the coming of age of Anakin going into the dark side, becoming Darth Vader. He goes into the dark side, oddly enough, with the purest intention because he wants to save Padme's life, and he thinks the dark side's power can show him how.
Right.
So he, like, in the good intention, he does the worst of things.
Yeah.
And then the glimpse that we get of Darth in this movie kind of like solidifies his like badassness, I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And just that one, you know what? It was funny because I heard something on Facebook. I was trying to avoid stuff before I go saw, but I remember something about Darth Vader being a badass or something. And I was like, okay. And we're watching the movie and like, 3/4 in this movie is like, okay, he was in one scene.
Yeah, like,
where's
the guy.
Where's the badassery, you know? But I guess we'll get that here later on. But I wouldn't say I'm a hardcore Star Wars fan, but I'm invested
a lot of time. You're that bridge in between casual and insane.
If it wasn't for like the expanding universe. I would say I'm a hardcore fan.
Because you're into Rebels, you're into Clone Wars, you're deep, you're more rooted into the history of what you don't see behind on the Star Wars movie.
Yeah, the reason I wouldn't consider myself a hardcore fan is
because you're not fat.
Well, that too. But I don't go out and read all the novels and all the expanding universes. I know now on the toy stands they have the black series of the figures, and they had expanding universe series. Mm-hmm. I couldn't tell you half those characters. I know of some of these characters, but I don't know.
But recognizing them right off the top, you wouldn't.
I know some of them, but not like random. Alien, you know, characters that like who, what, like what is this? I don't know who this guy is, but
like the lizard guy in Rogue One that deserved like maybe 15 or 20 minutes more screen time because he was such a badass.
Wait, which guy?
The lizard. It was basically a dude, but it had a lizard face and he wouldn't talk. He'd just go aah! And then fire his gun and shit.
I'm gonna have to go back and see that one.
You know, you're watching this movie again because there's a lot of things you missed.
Oh yeah, and there was quite a bit of nods and homages that I did catch from the other movies as well.
I couldn't after a certain amount of time. You know what? I wasn't invested enough in the Star Wars history for me to stay away from spoilers. It came out the weekend I went out of town for a Metallica show, so I already like it was in the back of my mind. So I wasn't thinking the entire weekend, oh my God, I got to see Rogue One. I almost forgot about it. And so you told me that you saw it and you wanted to record an episode. I was like, all right, I want to see it. I want to watch it. The time came because I was off from work and I was feeling back to normal-ish. And I saw it. But by then, I kind of read a couple of things that were going on. So I was kind of looking for certain things in the movie.
Yeah. Okay. That's fair. I was trying to stay away from stuff, but I did get spoiled on a few things.
Like what?
Well, just some of the things to look out for. I think what you're just kind of mentioning out there about just what to look for. This, you know, Darth Vader being a badass. And, well, Darth Vader being in the movie just in general.
Yeah.
I think, well, there's one trailer, like the very last trailer.
And, yeah, that's the part that kind of bugged me that for all intents and purposes, Force Awakens, up until the time it was released, did a pretty good job of keeping a lot of things secret so that you wouldn't know what to expect until you actually got into the theater and saw it.
Yeah.
So, for example, I would have loved to have seen Civil War, Captain America Civil War, without any mentions of Spider-Man until my first vision of Spider-Man was in the theater. Yeah. When they...
Dude, everybody...
When they ruined it with the Spider-Man tease like a month before the movie came out, I was like, ah...
We debated that on an earlier episode of Pop Culture Rewind where that was questionable, but I get it. Like, could you imagine being in a room, like a packed theater, and Spider-Man popping up with no... Dude, the theater would have literally blew up.
Yeah. And you didn't need to tease. I mean, Force Awakens did gangbusters without knowing anything that was going on. So you would think there's enough of a value in the name brand of Star Wars that just on itself, I want to be surprised, you know, or at least.
To be fair, though, this is the first kind of uncharted territory for making Star Wars movies because it's not Episode 4 or 5, 6, you know, whatever. It's just a standalone, separate. These are dealing with characters that have never been mentioned before. So that was another thing getting into this movie. The cast, the characters in this, I was looking at these names, I was looking at these characters, and I was like, I've never heard of these people before. This ain't going to end well for nobody.
No. And it didn't.
Yeah.
Are you kind of glad that they left off some people from Clone Wars? Because I would have loved to have seen a Star Wars movie with Ahsoka.
Mm-hmm.
And just like a story of her running into Darth Vader and surviving, you know, instead of movie like this where, you know.
In Rebels, Star Wars Rebels, she actually already fought
Vader and survived, right? Yeah. Somehow.
Yeah, no, she bumped into, they ran into the Vader.
Yeah.
And she knew it was Anakin, and that was a cool tie-in, but that's another story.
Is there enough of, like, stuff on Rebels or in Clone Wars or stuff that you've read where that's enough, you don't need to see that on the theater, or would you have wanted to see something that you're familiar with on TV?
Well, I'll get right into it right now. I was going to save it for later, but I'll get to it right now since we're talking about it. Rebels was in Star Wars. There were some cameos.
Really?
Have you watched Rebels? Do you know anything about it?
Not much.
Okay, they have a droid that they use, kind of like an R2 unit, but he's called Chopper, and he's just kind of like a more of a cylinder, but he rolls like R2 does. He's in the movie. There is a scene where it was in the trailer actually,
where they're all running in that base, and you see that one droid rolling up. That's Chopper.
Yeah. Oh, okay. There's another scene, and this was on Facebook everywhere too, where there's towards the end of the scene where they're all in space and all the ships come in.
Mm-hmm.
Their ship Ghost from Rebels.
Oh, okay.
That's what we can speculate, but they showed the back of it, and it's got the same outline, the same thrusters.
Yeah.
The thrusters on the back is in the same pattern and everything. So, yeah, that's got to be their ship. Also, we'll get into the characters here in a second, but Forrest Whitaker, his character, Saw Gerrera, he's actually confirmed to be in either later on this season or next season of Rebels.
Ooh.
So, okay. Rebels, it ties into it somehow, but clearly if he's going to be in Rebels, then Rebels takes place before Rogue One. So, it's pretty cool. It was pretty cool to see a lot, you know. I went back and I saw the screen grab of Chopper in there. It's kind of cool to see live action. So it is tied in because the filmmakers, they explicitly denied any rumors before this movie came out that Rebels was going to tie in at all to this. So, it's pretty cool. Let's see, what else is there? We talked about it. This is a standalone movie. So some of the differences that we weren't going to see in this movie, they said up front, there's not going to be any lightsaber duels. There's not going to be any Jedis.
I noticed that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Did that bother you? Or, to me, like, it made sense for the movie for not to have any Jedis in there. But we did have someone that uses the Force.
It was different to see that this was mostly just, like, Sith inhabited, like everybody was already in submission, and people were slowly rising up. I kind of like that take compared to everything that I've seen.
I liked it, and that's another thing about this movie. This is someone on Facebook said this. I can't remember who it was, but they said they put the wars back in Star Wars.
Mm-hmm.
This is a war movie.
Yeah,
it literally is a small group of people going in, getting some plans, mm-hmm. some blueprints, whatever, and they're getting back to their base. Mm-hmm. That's the whole movie, right?
Capture the flag, basically.
Pretty much, yeah. So that being said, I wasn't upset or anything that there wasn't any Jedi in there. I think what satisfied the lack of that was how much Empire was in this, how much the Imperial, like, you see, because you see all the familiarities of the Empire. You see the Star Destroyers. You see the fucking Death Star. Darth Vader's in this. You see...
Did you expect Governor Tarkin?
Spoilers, I did. But if I... Oh. You know... at first... Okay, let's get into that. They brought back the character... Well, and here, like you just said, he's Governor Tarkin, but he goes on to Episode 4 as Grand Moff Tarkin.
Mm-hmm.
When they tease it at first, because you see him from the back, and you kind of see like a little reflection in the glass... And he turns around, and it's
CGI.
Yeah, CGI. And at first, I was like, "Oh shit, that's really good." But then, as it going on, it's like, "Man, it's kind of creepy." It's kind of creepy that they just CGI'd his face into another actor's performance. But it's not unheard of. I mean, they done it. They did it with Paul Walker.
Fast Fear 7, yeah.
Yeah. Actually, there's a video on YouTube where they kind of explain how that works and what they do. They just basically...
There's like layers.
There's layers. And they take 3D renderings of the original actor's face or what they have to work with. And then they also... They hire an actor
stand-in.
That yeah, stand-in actor, but they try to get unique or facial expressions or facial features that are similar to the actor they're trying to CGI in. And man, for all intents and purposes, they did a good job. Almost in some scenes, it looks like I was watching a video game.
Yeah, cinematic. I can see that.
Okay.
I think the biggest example of CGI where I really thought, holy shit, that's fake, was the ending with Princess Leia. Young Princess Leia. I was like, that shit's fake. the skin was, it almost was lacking pigmentation for me, almost.
Well, go back and watch New Hope, or Star Wars. I don't want to say New. Watch Star Wars. Yeah. She does have very, there's some lighting and things like that, she does have very smooth skin, she's very clean, and because she's a princess, royalty, mm-hmm. So yeah. I thought it looked really good. I was impressed. Let's take a pause for a second. Because I wanted to talk about this first, and we just kind of jumped right into it.
Not wearing black for a reason.
Today is a very sad day.
She had a cardiac arrest on a flight.
On a flight, yeah.
And she's been in the hospital. And then this morning, was it this morning?
This is morning.
Or last night, she was cleared stable. Like, she was all right.
Well, as of yesterday, she was in stable condition. Yesterday. Yeah.
Then this morning,
yeah,
not so much.
Yeah. And we all got the word on, it hit everywhere. It just blew up everywhere. And,
yeah.
And she passed away due to complications of cardiac arrest. So, man, so sad.
It's not complications. I mean, in the 70s and the 80s, you're living the high life. And yeah, stuff catches up to you. Even if you're clean now, that chips away at you.
But the regardless of that aspect, I mean, she touched a lot of people. She was the first crush for many a generation. of course, she's going to be known for as Princess Leia. You start seeing her off camera, and you start seeing her in interviews and how cool of a person she was.
It kind of went from like a rise to a fall and then the resurgence. Because before this Force Awakens thing was going on, she was finally being more accepted. Like, she was being more accepted by the general audience, let alone Star Wars fans. Of, hey, all right, well, she's back with us. She's part of. She's back in the fold. You know. Yeah. So when this movie came out, I was like, there's no way they're gonna get her to do it. Like, wait, she's in it. Oh,
yeah,
yeah. So it was kind of fitting. I wonder if they're gonna continue the CGI with.
Well, they said that she finished her filming for episode 8.
Okay.
So definitely she'll be in episode 8, which will be out next year, a year from now.
Yeah.
And who knows, storyline wise, I don't even know what's happening in the stories after that. But they'll do the right thing. I don't know what they're planning, but whatever's respectful. Yeah. She had a dog named Gary Fisher. And his tongue always hung out on the side. Dude, come on. If you haven't, you know what I'm talking about. Just Google search her with her dog. It's funny. But yeah, that's so sad. I was kind of hoping it kind of ties into the movie, hope. That was the one thing that the line in the movie was, what would it have now? Hope. Yeah. And we had hope for a couple of days. You know, we're thinking, okay, she's going to hang in there. She's in stable condition.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, now she's one with the Force. The Force is with her.
Yeah. Yep.
So, rest in peace, Carrie Fisher. So, now
that was the mantra for most of this Rogue One movie.
Hope.
I am the Force. I am.
Oh,
the Force is with me. I am the Force. The blind samurai guy.
The blind samurai guy. Yes. Yeah. That was played by Donnie Yen. He played Shirit. But yeah, he was the interesting character of this group. I thought. He was. We saw a little bit of this in Force Awakens with the little girl's name, the little lady's name,
Maz.
Yes, there you go. She, Matt, what? Yeah, I know what you're talking about. Okay, so that was established in Force Awakens.
Maz Kanta or something, I think.
Yeah, that she could use she's not a. You don't necessarily have to be a Jedi
to feel it
to be able to use the Force, and this was echoed in this movie as well. Where he was one with the Force, and he could sense and everything else. He couldn't see, but all his other senses were That was kind of a cool character. That talk about badassery. That scene, his kind of an intro scene where he just took out all the stormtroopers.
Yeah, yeah, that was awesome.
And then his buddy, Boz or Baze, I can't remember. They said it a couple times, but he was played by Wen Jiang.
Reminded me of Cable from X-Men.
That big ass gun that he had. Yeah,
yeah,
he's mowing down stormtroopers. Fucking great. There was a couple other new characters they introduced. Okay, let's get onto some more characters. The main character, Jin, she's played by Felicity Jones. What'd you think about her?
She's cute.
okay, I set you up for that one.
Yeah, you set me up for that one. She did good. Yeah. I liked her performance in the movie. I was pleasantly surprised.
Again,
two for two as far as the female leads in these Star Wars movies.
Well, that's the one thing about all the Star Wars movies. You go back to Princess Leia. You go back to Padme. You go back, Jin right here, and then go to Rey. They're all female leads, but they're all, like, they hold their own. They're not
alpha women.
They're not damsel in distress. And that was set from day one.
I debate episode 3, Padme kind of started getting a little soft.
No, I'm not even talking about that. I'm talking about when we were first introduced to Star Wars.
Yeah.
1977, Luke goes in to rescue the princess and she's like, aren't you a little short to be a stormtrooper?
Yeah.
And then she grabs the gun. Someone's got to save us down the chute, fly boy. So from that moment, it was established that she wasn't a pusher. She wasn't a damsel in distress. And that, I think that tone for female leads in Star Wars movies, I think that carried through to this. Because she wasn't a pusher. She wasn't no damsel. She
took care of herself.
She kicked some ass, too. Like, everybody kicked ass in this movie, really. She was trained by Forrest Whitaker's character we just talked about just a minute ago, Saul Guerrero.
Mm-hmm.
And then also, she's kind of tied in with the Rebel Alliance the Andor guy, Cassian Andor, played by Diego Luna. He was kind of like, it's kind of hard to be invested in some of these characters because you knew, at least I knew, by the end of this movie, it's not going to really matter what you think, if you like him or not. And sure enough.
They all get blowed up.
Yep. So we kind of touched on it earlier about the opening. This is a different feel. No opening crawl in this movie. Mm-hmm. For the Star Wars, which I don't mind it. I didn't mind there not being an open crawl kind of telling you what's going on because, quite frankly, it's not part of the main story series. It doesn't need that. It's a smaller story to tell.
Yeah.
And if you go back to watch Star Wars, the original opening crawl, the first, like, opening sentence is this movie.
Yeah.
Rebel still plans for the Death Star or for a massive weapon. That's what this movie is. That's all you need to know.
Yeah.
So there's that. One quick thing about the original, the score for this movie, the music, at first it was a little off-putting to me, just because I'm so used to John Williams' score from everything else.
So you could tell the difference, what was John, by audio, you can tell what was John Williams and what wasn't.
Yeah.
Really?
I say that there was one scene where, I think it was introduced to one of the Star Destroyers and they're just kind of flying in and it was like a establishing shot of what was going on and just... It felt like it was trying to be Star Wars music. It just felt off. I was like, ugh. But after that, it kind of...
Got to find its own groove?
Yeah, I just kind of put it in the back.
You forgot about it, basically.
Yeah, pretty much, yeah. So we kind of talked about, you know, this and that. What's going on is, Jin, we just talked about her dad, is the guy that made the plans, architect. The architect for the Death Star. And what I like about this movie, it ties up and gets rid of this plot hole that has been sitting out there for years about
Han shot first?
No, fuck that. Why the fuck would they have this little this flaw of this design where one shot or one little opening will destroy the whole fucking thing? Now we know. We had a dude that was forced to make this Death Star and he didn't want to do it and he was planning on betraying them and perfectly done, I thought.
Even when he admitted that he was the one that did it, they still killed off everybody else.
Yeah, yeah. Man, there's so much good action in this movie. Just going back to the fact that, you know, it's a war movie. And it's... What's a good way to put it? this is, like, if you want to compare it to other Star Wars movies, I would compare it to Empire Strikes Back as far as tone.
Yes.
Like,
yes.
More grounded, grittier. Does it end really on a high note?
Not all you heroes are going to make it out alive in this one.
Right, yeah. Yeah.
None of them in this one, actually. Did we mention spoiler alert? Yeah, hey, spoiler alert.
A couple of characters that popped up that we're familiar with. Mon Mothma, she's kind of like the architect of the Rebel Alliance, kind of telling people, you know, what's going on. We got a little appearance by Jimmy Smits, who plays Senator Organa. Mm-hmm.
And who adopted
Leia.
Leia.
Yeah, so, yeah. And the last scene we see him in, he's like, I gotta go back to Alderaan. I was like, no, you don't go back to Alderaan. That's the last thing you want to do. And sure enough, yeah, that's the last time we see him. So, yeah, that was, there's some more cameos. We got a quick shot, if you blink, you missed it, of a C-3PO and R2-D2. Mm-hmm. They're in it for a split second. Again, going towards the end of this movie, man, there's so much going on in this end because the whole movie is kind of building up to them
attacking.
Attacking in it. And it was so cool to see just more of the Imperial forces, like more AT-AT walkers and all those TIE fighters coming out of that Star Destroyer.
My favorite part, and I remember it this distinctly, is the Corvette hammer.
Yeah.
Oh my God. That visual of that hammer plowing into the first destroyer to like literally crash into the second one to the point where it like melts together. Oh, dude, that was fucking boss.
And it wasn't just that. I love the fact that everything they did mattered. Like everybody had to do their part, or it was all for shit. Yeah. And I love that. I love that they had a plan to make 10 people look like 100 people. You know, do all this, place all the bombs, get all those
spread it out, so you didn't know where they were going. False information over the radios.
Yeah.
Oh, dude, it was awesome.
Beautifully done. And the fact
that's like Call of Duty shit, right
and
there.
And there was some suspense to it too, because you knew it was going to end well. You knew they had to get the plans. You knew that was going to happen.
But how it was going
to
happen.
And the fact that it was, they're down to the wire on getting the signal to the fleet to say, hey, we need that opening. We need that shield down so we can get all the shit out of here. And that's when they did the Corvette.
And it took both the sinking Star Destroyers into the shield / ring for them to finally break the barrier. I was like, man, that had me.
And going back to, it didn't bother me that there was any Jedi in here. We had plenty of fight. We had plenty of Star Wars X-Wings and all. You know, we see battles.
Down to the fact that I found a few days ago, they actually found old, unused footage from the original Star Wars. And that's what I was looking for during some of the scenes. And there was like some of it, like the CG, the HD-ness of the new scenes, and there was like a couple of shots of cockpits inside the fighters, and they looked like you could kind of tell that they
were seamless.
Old.
It was seamless. Yeah. There was a couple of shots, interior shots of the cockpits of the fighters, where they actually de-aged some of the actors. Yeah. They actually brought the actors back and they de-aged them for those little split second shots. So again, man, top notch on everything, on the CGI and the special effects and everything.
And the lack of the lightsabers was made up by two things. Number one, digging through the files and finding the darksaber file.
Yeah.
So you know where the plans are building to make different weapons. And obviously the ending with fucking Vader going all with his lightsaber on everybody.
Let's take a second to talk about Vader in this movie. Our intro. We've never seen his home. We've never seen where he stays.
Yeah.
And apparently that planet that was the same planet that he got all hacked up on. That's where...
That's the fight with Obi-Wan in episode 3. I knew it was familiar.
Mustafar or something. I can't remember the name. Anyway, so they show his castle that he's in. And this is the first time we actually see him like taking a bath, kind of. Like, yeah. It was almost like the same Bacta tube that Luke was in Empire Strikes Back, where he's just kind of like floating in there, and it's kind of the same thing where it's a split second, but he's like doesn't have his limbs and everything, he's just getting freshened up, I guess. I don't know. But that was a cool intro to see what he does, what he's
this for anybody that watched, that paid attention,
Bacta tank, that's what
that paid attention to part 3. This is the first time you see him post cut up.
Right.
Basically, and
continuity-wise.
And it's funny because this movie makes certain scenes in part 3 a lot more relatable And actually, there's a scene in A New Hope that completely makes sense now. And that was Krennic. There's an empty chair in The New Hope when Darth Vader is with his group and they're having this meeting about the plans for the Death Star. And there's an empty chair there.
Yeah.
That was Krennic's.
Oh, was it?
Yeah,
oh.
Because he occupies it during Rogue One. And had he still been alive, he would be sitting there with the rest of the group.
Ah.
Which, 30 years, again, the plot hole of what... Yeah, everything ties in.
Yeah.
Still don't know who shot first, but we'll get there. The Han Solo short will probably fix that.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe, I don't know. Yeah, Darth Vader, showing more kind of background into him a little bit. Still does the little force choke hole thing. That was pretty cool. And then it wasn't until the very end... when the rebels got the plans, they made it back to the ship, but they still got to get it out of there, right?
Yeah, and disembark.
So this is where we see them basically captured by the Star Destroyer. Doors open up, and then Darth Vader comes in and starts just mowing down people with his lightsaber.
And the Force. He's throwing somebody up. And and he's just staring there at the end when they all escape, and he's like, I'm going to get you.
You know, the cool thing about that is that's the first time we get a glimpse of... Like, I hate to say it because we just said it a couple times already, like badassery of Darth. Because in Star Wars and Empire and the whole original trilogy, he's just kind of there. Like, his presence alone is imposing enough and threatening enough. All he needed to do was like choke a couple people.
Yeah.
And us as mover goes like, holy shit, you know, it's crazy. But now we see like how he came up as Anakin and what he can do as Anakin. And what can he do as Darth Vader? This is the first time cinematically that we're seeing what he can do as Darth Vader.
I think that was my only like nitpick, if I had any. I've read like the first four or five issues of the recent, not recent, but it's been about a year where they did a Darth Vader standalone comic, mm-hmm. and I was hoping to see some of that in the movie of him post transformation from Anakin and him finding the power and like harnessing it and things like that. And even as a bad guy, there's still people he can't trust. You know, and I was hoping to see some of that in there, and I didn't really get a glimpse of any, I don't want to say build, but any, like, depth to the character until the very end where he just, like, went full Sith on everybody.
Yeah.
So.
And the only thing that was getting me to that last scene of him just mowing down everybody was... Like, they got to get the plans out. Like, that's like, I kept thinking in my mind, like, okay, they're going to get out, right?
Here, man, because, just take it. Yeah. Go. Like,
what? I don't understand what you're saying. Take the goddamn things.
Do you understand the words that are coming out of my mouth?
Yeah. We're done. They got that. They get away, and then that's when we catch up to Star Wars, literally with them handing the plans over to Leia. She turns around and we see and again, the same thing what they do with Tarkin. They got a young actress to play her and they just imposed
features.
Yeah, the features of Carrie Fisher onto her. And it was hearing the audience react, seeing Leia. I gasped for a second. I was like, oh. Because it's pretty cool because you know it's tying in like perfectly, seamless into Star Wars.
Yeah.
And I love the ending of that.
It's going to have a different meaning for you watching it again now that you know that she's
maybe, gone. Maybe. I don't know. I know there was an article or two I saw floating around online about with the Tarkin and Leia bringing those characters back on screen. Is it disrespectful to the actors? I was like, not really, because they can't physically do the... Like, even if they were still alive, like, you can't physically do those roles anymore. But if you still got stories to tell and you can make it believable,
that's hard, dude. Like they had the permission of the estate for Tarkin, mm-hmm. and then they had Carrie Fisher's permission herself to do this. But just because they made it legal by getting their permission, that doesn't necessarily make it ethical. Like, did you?
I look at that like this.
Have fans been more pissed off if they just grabbed somebody else, say the chick that did the mocap for Carrie Fisher, if they would have just had her there playing Leia, you think there would have been this huge backlash of Star Wars fans going, ah, fuck this movie, there's that, that, because they did that. You know, they complained that Force Awakens didn't have any gay or LGBT or the black guy didn't get enough attention. There's always a reason for someone to bitch about something, especially when the fan base is fucking Star Wars.
Right.
So,
to me,
bite the bullet or just do the mocap?
Okay, for me, as a moviegoer, I appreciate what that's bringing to the movie. Because you can't... Okay, say there was... Okay, Carrie Fisher, she just passed away, right? But say she was already passed away before this movie came out. And you wanted to have that scene in that movie where it ties in straight into Star Wars. I mean, I wouldn't want to see another actress playing her.
The impact wouldn't be the same.
Right.
Even if you know that she's playing Carrie Fisher's role of Princess Leia, it's not going to have the impact like you had when you just sat there and you saw her. You went, oh, you're not going to get that if it's fucking Britney Spears doing the role with her hair in a bun and shit. And you're just like,
oh. Yeah. No, it would take you out of the moment. Yeah. I think. And it's, and I say I appreciate it because, like, say they're still alive, right? And they're, and they've aged quite a bit. And you want to have them in a role, but age is the factor, you know, and you can't do that without CGI, right? So if you have permissions and everything else like that, especially for someone who's deceased, then I don't see a problem with it. It's for entertainment purposes, and it's being done tastefully. Now, if they were doing CGI and they're making them all ugly and shit, and they didn't know what the fuck they're doing, then I say, okay, fuck that, you know. And plus, the technology has come a long way. Go back to X-Men 3 with when they de-aged Patrick Stewart and Ian McKellen for the opening scene.
Oh yeah, it's a lot better now.
It's come a long way. Yeah. I think that's pretty much it that I had for it.
Does this give you a better appreciation for either of the movies that came before or after it? Like, does it make you want to watch part 3 to see how this ties together with Rogue One? Would you want to see part 4 again to see, like, to have the whole continuity? Or is this good just as its own?
For me personally, no. It's good just as its own because I know where it stands in the whole spectrum of the timeline of this franchise. That makes me appreciate this movie more. Honestly, it's the kind of the flip of that. I appreciate how they were able to tie and connect from episode 3 and connect to episode 4 and tie in Rebels, the TV show, and kind of make everything fluid. I love that. And this was right out the gate, opening a salvo for these new standalone Star Wars movies, you know? Because we're getting a new Star Wars every year until we die, ladies and gentlemen. So,
On the flip side, new Star Wars movie every year. Yet the people that in this movie... We're never going to see him again.
I'm okay with that.
You're okay with that?
Yeah. Okay. It's a standalone movie. I went in this movie knowing, okay, I'm not going to see
Because the same people, because a lot of the casual people that went into this movie expecting Rey, Finn, and BB-8 are not going to go into
the appreciated movie. Then.
Are going to go into the next movie looking for these people, like Jen Erso and...
That goes back to the opening, where there's no opening crawl, no nothing. Do you remember, like, it says, a long time ago in a galaxy far, far away? Yeah, that's still there. But then right after that, bam!
You're already in.
Well, besides that, instead of Star Wars, you know, besides, damn, and then they'll crawl. Now it's just Rogue One. All quiet and everything, and just kind of sets the tone early on. This isn't another what we just
saw.
This
isn't your mom's Star Wars.
And this isn't Force Awakens Part 2. Okay. This is something different. And I think I give people enough credit. The true fans. Yeah. I mean, if you're cognitive,
if you know enough,
yeah,
you'll be fine.
Yeah. But yeah, man, this movie knocked it out of the park, man. I'm trying to think of something bad to say about it. And other than I said a little bit about the music earlier.
I want to say that this feels like A New Hope and it feels like The Force Awakens because you have that blueprint the way the movies went, but the ending, like I'm not as big a Star Wars fan to realize because I, or maybe I was incognizant enough when I was watching it, or maybe I just forgot that everybody died in this. Yeah. Mostly all the heroes died in this movie. And that completely changes that blueprint that, oh, Force Awakens is a blueprint of the New Hope, and Rogue One is like the beginning, middle, and ends just like it. And then the ends, like all kinds of, you didn't expect. It's nowhere like the other ones. So, dude, there, I can't find something, anything negative to say about this movie.
And even then, if you want to say it's, you know, the negativity of everybody died in this, the very last thing you hear is hope. You know, that's the how it ends, is on hope.
Yeah.
For what they got. So, and we know where that goes on for Star Wars. And so they do eventually come out on top of that. Mm-hmm. So, man, just.
Okay. Is that your movie of the year? Ooh. What have we had this year? We've had Civil War.
Uh-huh.
We've had Deadpool.
Mm-hmm.
What else off the top of my head?
Those are the top three, I think, as far as entertainment value-wise. Deadpool, Civil War, Rogue One.
Rank them. Or did you just do it?
I'd probably flip it. I'd probably go Rogue One, Civil War, Deadpool.
Ooh! I would probably go Deadpool.
I knew you were going to go Deadpool first.
I'd probably go Deadpool and then Rogue One. Because I can make that argument that Civil War is almost like every single Avenger movie or ensemble movie that Marvel has done.
But we got their Spider-Man. Biggest,
their big, the like the their biggest enemy in these movies are each other.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like Age of Ultron, fucking Tony Stark made him. So it's kind of, you know, and the first Avenger, the biggest tool in that movie was Loki turning Hulk against the group.
Hmm.
So it's even Ultron turned Hulk against the group.
Right.
So it's like the biggest enemy is each other, like as opposed to Guardians of the Galaxy, you have a defined bad guy.
Right.
You know, so I would pick Rogue One over, because I have more, I can nitpick more about Civil War than I can about Rogue One.
You know what? You made a good point on that, because Deadpool, I appreciate the whole package of Deadpool.
Not to mention the relationship aspect. We people that have been really enjoying Deadpool, that straight men that have crushes on Ryan Reynolds, they've been waiting this movie over a decade, and watching it, the evolution of this from obscurity to holy shit, it's on the theater and it's fucking awesome.
Here's your, okay,
that part I think,
well,
for
plus
me,
you're more of a Deadpool fan than Star Wars. I'm more of a Star Wars fan, so I would say Rogue One, Deadpool, Civil War.
Okay.
You talked me out of Civil War because you make a good point. It was very good. It was very entertaining. It was
might easily be the best Marvel movie Marvel Studios, because they've built up all that to get to that point. But you could still pick on it. You could still really pick on it.
Yeah,
so
I have, I think, on one of our older episodes.
And we'll get a chance next year sometime when we break down Phase 3. Phase 2 is coming.
Yeah, we got
soon.
We've
got time in our hands.
Once we start on it.
Yeah. Well.
But I think enough of that. I think we made our point across. Man, I love this movie.
I want this fucking year to be over.
Yeah.
George Michael and Carrie Fisher in a week. That kind of like sums up 2016 as like a kick in the balls when you didn't even ask for it. And we still got 4 days.
Ugh.
Now that we're recording, it's the 27th. We got 4 more days. And you know, crazy ass fuckers come out on New Year's. So I'm just waiting for this to be over.
Well, you know, people can still die next year too, right?
Yeah, but it can't be this bad.
You just done fucked up, sir.
Oh, man. Was 2016 the appetizers, and 2017 is like, blah, the buffet?
No. It's 2017 is going to be Empire Strikes Back. or Rogue One.
No, I know. I saw something on Facebook. 2016 was a Sith Lord. 2017 better be Jedi as fuck.
Well played. Yeah. And I think on that note,
yeah, let's get the hell out of here.
Popper culture.
Thank you. We're the Cantina Band. If you have any requests, shout them out.
Play that same song.
All right, same song. Here we go.
why I keep doing this. I don't know. It's like I'm giving my fingers a workout.